Let's get the thoughts of Gary Washburn, who is, of course, national NBA writer, covers the Celtics for the Boston Globe as well. And I would dare say, and not that Gary and I aren't friendly, but an FOF, a friend of Foyer, as Gary Washburn joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Gary, good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm great, great. How you guys doing?
Well, good. And look, I don't know if I'm just being overly optimistic or not, Gary. I thought they had to get a big. They bring in Mike Muscala. I thought come hell or high water, there was going to be a way that Brad Stevens was going to use one of those trade player exceptions and go snag another player, maybe like a scoring wing, and it just didn't materialize. I kind of look at it as the, I'm glad you didn't try to get a square peg into the round hole. How do you view what Brad Stevens did yesterday?
I thought it was a nice move. It was kind of a sneaky move in the sense that people, unless you're a real basketball fan, you know who Mike Muscala is. He played at Bucknell. He's been in the league about 10 years. He's a guy who's kind of been a stretch four throughout his career, can shoot from the perimeter, can stretch the floor, can play a position that the Celtics need. He's kind of like a poor man's Danilo Gallinari, you know. So, and that's kind of what they needed. They needed somebody to come off the bench at times that can stretch the floor, that can shoot the ball from the three-point line. And it just another big body with, obviously, Al Horford kind of taking the second game of back-to-backs off and being 36. And Robert Williams, you know, them trying to basically keep him in bubble wrap until the playoffs. They needed another big guy that can come in there and also shoot the ball. So I thought it was a sneaky good move. But I also think Celtic fans should look forward to the buyout market because that could be something where they can get another pivotal or impact player over the next 10 days.
So, okay, explain the buyout market and who you think may be available, if you have one, for the people who may not know what that even is.
Well, the buyout market is now that players have been traded some to teams that the team has no intention on playing them. They just basically traded for their salary. So now the player can approach the team and say, hey, buy me out, let's come to a settlement, and then that person gets waived and then becomes a free agent. And that's where teams like the Bucks, the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Suns, and all these teams are going to start picking up players. There's going to be a bunch of guys out on this market, guys like Russell Westbrook, Patrick Beverley, John Wall, a guy I think the Celtics could target, Terrence Ross from the Orlando Magic. There could be guys who ask for buyouts now that they haven't been. Some teams, teams didn't trade them. And so they're asking their team, hey, just let me out. We're not going to the playoffs, not going anywhere, I'm going to be a free agent, let me go, and they want to play for a championship-caliber team such as the Celtics. So that should be something to look out for. And then you can sign at the minimum salary, so the Celtics aren't stretching their salary cap as much in the buyout market. So that's what you could look out for. I didn't think they were going to pull off some major deal yesterday to get a guy who might be a little bit too expensive for them.
Gary, I had read about the whole Danilo Gallinari, and there was the exception there of $3.2 million with the offset for him being injured. Does that give the Celtics an advantage in the buyout market? You mentioned the minimum salary. Do the Celtics have the ability to come over the top of the minimum salary if they want to, or is it just a matter of the money's going to be the same for all these guys, and it's really just their personal preference as to where they want to go?
Yeah, they could slide someone into that exception, and that's a little bit more money than, let's say, the veterans minimum. And that could attract a guy who wants to make a couple of more $100,000 or maybe another $1 million. I think it's going to be a situation for a lot of these guys. You know, these guys are going to want a chance to play. They're going to want a chance to win. Brad Stevens has to get the right guy in there. You don't want a guy who comes in there and expects to play 25, 30 minutes a game, and you're playing him 7 to 10, and then he starts, you know, pouting and complaining. You want the right kind of guy in who you explain to him his role. You say, listen, you're going to play 10 to 12 minutes a game. There might be games you don't play, and that guy has to be okay with that. Because as you guys know, you put the wrong guy into a locker room, a guy who thinks he's entitled. Let's say you don't bring Russell Westbrook to Boston because Russell's going to want to play. You know, Russell's not going to be good with DNPs or playing 8 minutes a game. That's a guy you stay away from, or a John Wall. There's guys you stay away from. But I think there'll be a handful of guys who should be available over the next couple of days that they'll look into.
So we're talking to Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Gary, What about what the Celtics didn't do, what Brad Stevens didn't do? There was a rumor going around about how the they offered the Celtics offered Gallinari, Peyton Pritchard for Jakob Poeltl, who ended up going to, I think, Toronto. What do you know about that deal?
Yeah, it's something they threw out there, but San Antonio wanted more draft capital. San Antonio's a team that's kind of blowing it up. They're not going to do the Celtics any favors. So they made a deal. They got kind of a capable another big man back in Kim Birch to go to San Antonio, and then got like draft compensation for that deal. Pirtle's a guy who's going to be a rent a player. He's an impending free agent. A guy who could have helped the Celtics, but I don't think that they were really serious about getting him. They made an offer, but they weren't going to give everything to San Antonio to make the deal happen. Toronto was looking to kind of ramp up to try to make, you know, get a better spot in the playoffs.
Gary, I'm curious for your view on Grant Williams. I know Foyer and I did a lot of chatter yesterday about Grant, and I was kind of wondering if Brad Stevens did trade Grant Williams, was it pure contractual related, trying to almost reset that spot from a contract standpoint? I know they can give him a restricted offer next year of just a little more, right around $6.3 million, but where do you think the organization is with Grant relative to him being here long term?
I think they'd like him here long term, but they also got to prepare for the future with other guys too. You got to figure out, okay, so Jaylen Brown has one more year in his contract. You have to bring him back at the max. Then slowly coming up is Jason Tatum. Okay, so Jason Tatum's going to get that, I want to say, the 5-year, $250 kind of deal. Like you're going to max him, right? So you're going to max both of those guys. And then you got to figure out what you're going to do long term with Robert Williams. There's a lot of other guys kind of in line in front of Grant. So the fact that the rumors that Grant wants $18 million a year, like they're going to have to figure out whether they feel like he's worth that.
And, what do you think he's worth?
Wow. I think that if you paid him $448 million, you know, something like that, $12 to $15 million, I think that'd be a kind of that fits him in the 20 range, but that's what he's going to ask for. Obviously, I mean, you're going to ask for as much as you can get, and there could be a team that makes an offer this summer for that if they feel like Grant can be like, let's say they're starting small forward or starting power forward. So it all depends on what the league thinks, and the Celtics have the right to match any deal. Now a team like Charlotte or whatever, where Grant's from, could come with the salary cap space and say, hey, we want to offer you 4 years, $80 million. The Celtics will have to decide whether to match that. Not only is Grant Williams worth that money, but how does that affect how you pay other players? Because they got to prepare for Jaylen. Jaylen's the one that's coming up, and obviously Robert in a couple of years. So they've got to prepare for other guys. When you draft a bunch of guys around the same time, around the same age, a lot of those guys come up around the same time. And this is the situation the Celtics have found themselves in. Remember when Danny Ainge got all those draft picks back, and you draft those guys, and those guys flourish, you're going to have to pay them.
Gary, what are you hearing on the injury and the severity of such to Jaylen Brown?
I think Jaylen will be out through the All-Star break. I think he'll try to come back after the All-Star break, February 23rd game against Indiana. I just think they're going to want to let the swelling go down, fit him for a mask, have him get used to the mask. And I don't think that they want to bring him back, you know, right before the All-Star break. You get a full week off. Obviously, unless something miraculous happens, I think he misses the All-Star game. Let him rest, let him get the swelling down, and then they'll bring him back. But I think, obviously, he'll have a mask, and they'll have to figure out how to play with that thing.
All right, so Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe. Gary, last one for me. Midseason report card on Joe Mazzulla.
I give him A minus, B plus. I mean, best record in the league. They've really adjusted to him after obviously all the upheaval that happened in September. You can't. I don't know if you can give him a better grade than what he does. Obviously, he's got some quirky coaching styles, the lack of the timeouts, and you can say that he's, you know, you could criticize him for playing Tatum and Brown, especially Tatum, a lot of minutes, maybe too many minutes. But I think from what he's inherited, the situation, you got to give him an A. I give him an A. I just think he's done a tremendous job number one lead record in the NBA, and the train didn't go off the tracks when he took over.
You know, Gary, I'm kind of glad Christian asked that question, because at what point does the name Ime Udoka start to come up, considering we heard it was a one-year suspension, but Joe Mazzulla is proving that he can do the job?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to figure out a contractual way to get out of the situation with Udoka. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll coach the Celtics again. I think Mazzulla will be the permanent head coach, but I think it's just contractual at this point. I mean, let's be honest, he's coaching the All-Star game. I mean, no one would have imagined that. And he's probably, you know, there's a couple of guys, you know, Mike Brown in Sacramento, but Mazzulla will definitely get coach of the year votes. So I think that you can't take this away from him at this point. You just got to move on from Udoka. And honestly, the Celtics need to do this sooner than later. And don't let this linger into June and July when the suspension ends. I mean, you just let Udoka go and figure out what he's going to do for the rest of his career. And then if you put your chips with Mazzulla and move forward.
Well, I'll tell you, I think Phoenix, now that Kevin Durant is out there with the other crybaby and Chris Paul, and apparently Monty Williams and the big man DeAndre Ayton don't get along, I smell a late-season trade. You could trade a coach after the deadline. Ime Udoka to Phoenix. There we go. It'll make Kevin Durant and the rest of them happy out there.
Oh, boy, that would be interesting. I'm sure Monty Williams has something to say about that. But
Monty Williams is a hell of a coach. I just don't know if that might be, like, the right situation for him, given some of the personalities out there.
Yeah, he's a very good coach. And remember, guys, the Notre Dame job is open. So that's where Monty Williams played ball, college ball. So
it's like a pro team.
Look out for that. I'm sure they want to be more competitive in basketball.
I lied. This is my last one. The situation, now, the whole player empowerment movement, do we think that that's over based on, like, the life lesson that the Brooklyn Nets just went through?
Yeah, I think that'll affect the whole thing about quote-unquote super teams and guys collaborating to play together. But that was also kind of a Kyrie Irving issue there. I mean, if it's anybody else besides Irving joining Durant, it probably works out. But it was just so much upheaval there. And obviously, Kyrie, you cannot rely or depend on him. Let's see what happens in Dallas or wherever he plays next year. But obviously, he seems to have had a lot of issues with how they handle things in Brooklyn. And he's talking about it. And he's bad-mouthing, but criticizing the organization, sort of like he did in Boston. But we'll see how this goes long-term with this. But I do think that, you know, and remember, guys, the collective bargaining agreement is coming up, okay? So the owners are going to try to take some stuff back. The player, you know, the player empowerment's one of them, load management, some of these guys just taking games off and chilling and on the sideline eating popcorn. Like, those days are going to come to an end. They're going to have something in the collective bargaining agreement with games played and conditions, because I think the owners are a little tired of these guys kind of taking, you know, every third game off.
Gary, last thing, we swear, what's your vibe on Danilo Gallinari?
I think he'll try to push to make it back for the playoffs. We'll see. I mean, obviously, ACL injuries are severe. It all depends on how much he can. I mean, he looks in great shape. He's working to get back. I don't think he wants to rush back. But could he come back in, let's say, May, which is obviously three and a half months from now, for a second-round series? I think, because I don't know if they need him in the first round. I think that could be potentially happen. But I know he's doing everything to get back. It could be a situation where he does come back for the postseason. And remember, he's got a player option for next year, so he could be back next year.
Good stuff. Hey, Gary, thanks for the time and the breakdown. We appreciate it. Catch you soon.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks a lot, guys.